We are lucky enough to have General Manager John Eric Sullivan with us this morning. Happy birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you having me.
No, it's great to have you. And Nolan, happy birthday. I know you don't want it, but it's okay while you're standing there, and got to enjoy your birthday a little bit and get going. I know you're downplaying the birthday because you got a lot of other stuff on your mind. 2 weeks, 9 practices into this thing. Man, I have felt since late last week, I've seen a big jump in a bunch of guys. Passing game and some different things, and guys feel more comfortable in their 11-on-11 in different situations. What have you seen through the first 2 weeks? Is it kind of where you thought it would be, considering all the circumstances?
Yeah, I think it's the natural progression of training camp. Guys are starting to get more confident. They're starting to get more comfortable within their craft, with what they're being asked to do. And I think they're playing faster and playing more aggressive and not worried about making mistakes. And I think when that happens, you start to see guys playing at a better clip.
I watched some of your podcasts here recently, and it was really good stuff. Talk about culture and work ethic and toughness and all that stuff. You know, one that's really interesting to me that has haunted this team a little bit, and maybe other places you've been, is guys don't get off to a good start and get into a funk. Things that work so well in college, and you get here, and it doesn't work. You're playing against better competition and have trouble getting out of that. How do you, not just first-round pick, second, I mean, just players you're really counting on, pass rushers, that one move that works so well in college now,
sure,
lock up to you. Guys can't get off the ball. Receivers lose their confidence. How do you stay away from that stuff and find those guys? Because I heard your mental toughness is a big one.
Sure. I think, you know, part of that is the evaluation process through the college process itself. We're looking for guys who have gone through hard things and come out the other side. You know, not only in college, but how did they grow up? What have they overcome in their life?
So you do go actually, another one around here.
That's one of the big questions we ask. Like, give us an example of adversity that you've overcome off the field as well as on the field. And, again, we're looking for guys who have a track record of overcoming things. And then when they get here to the Miami Dolphins, we preach competition and effort. A lot of the things that don't take talent. But we also preach moving forward. You know, yesterday's in the rearview mirror. Tomorrow is another day. And if you get caught up in what happened yesterday, you're going to paralyze yourself and your ability to grow. And Haft does a great job messaging the team, just talking about every day is a new day. Compete your ass off. Give your best effort. And the mental and physical the resilience that we require here, I think, and that we will continue to require here, will show on Sundays as we build this thing forward.
Yeah. You got a lot of guys gotten off to great starts, a lot of young guys. And again, I start, and I'm reminded by everybody out there, it's only been 2 weeks and 9 practices, and now it steps up a little bit with the Commanders and a practice with them Wednesday and then the preseason game Friday. Let me tell you what, can I talk about a few guys here? Caleb Douglas has really come on strong, and you know, he made a couple catches, and people okay and quiet, and then you watch him up close, and he can really run number one. But what has happened to him? He all of a sudden looks like there's a guy that's going, I think I played a pretty high level here. He's got a chance to be real special.
Yeah, well, I think you got to tip your hat to the coaches in the room, Tyke and Krause, and those guys that work with him every day. But Caleb has a lot of natural gifts. That was what attracted us to him in the draft process. He's first of all, it's the body type. He's tall. He's long. He can run. The thing that he can do for a tall, long athlete is he can bend. He can get in and out of breaks. He's got extremely quick feet. And he's, like all of them, he's honing his craft. He's getting better every day. He's learning that, this is the National Football League, not the Big 12. And I think, some of that, just the things that some of the hard lessons he's learned early on, he's starting to reap the benefits from that, and that's what you're seeing.
Yeah. Jacob Rodriguez, wow.
Yeah.
Man, the last few days, he's starting to act like that middle belongs to him. And I'm hearing more in the pads, too, side to side.
He's doing a nice job. Like all of them, he's got to continue to grow and turn corners. But Jacob an extremely instinctive football player. I think you've seen that, his ability, or we have seen that, his ability to cause turnovers, his instincts and eyes when he's dropping into coverage. And then he's just such a quick get off the spot, see it, get to the ball type of linebacker. And he's getting better every day. And it's a really good competition we got going on with him and T-Dot, which I think is good for the team to see. We preach competition. And then if you look at that position battle, like, here you go.
Yeah.
This is what it looks like at its best. You got a T-Dot who's a good football player in his own right and has started a bunch of games and done a nice job here. And you got this young rookie who's a good player, and they're battling it out.
Yeah. No. Hey, listen, everybody's talking about it. You're right to your point. Malik Willis, he's doing things. I'll be honest with you, this is the first time I've seen him in person through the years as the quarterback of a team and being down here. I got to say, so I'm not taking shots at anybody, but physically, things I've seen him do, he made a back throw here early last week, back foot, either Tutu's going to catch it or it's going to be out of bounds. I think that's a great throw. My guy's going to get, he does stuff physically, to my point.
Sure.
The big arm and the throws that he can make, and I saw him run a little bit, and I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, the combination of the athlete, the traits that you want in a quarterback, and then the person. Quite frankly, when it came down to it, it made an easy decision for myself and Half. And you know, when I was talking to Steven and Danny, ownership, about Malik, a lot of the things that you're talking about now is what I was saying to them. Like, look, physically, there's nothing this kid can't do on a football field. I mean, he can hit you at all three levels of the football field. He can make plays with his legs. He's just such a big, powerful athlete. If he does not become a good football player in this National Football League, and there's a caveat to that, it's my job to put good players around him as we continue to go, and I think we've started that process, but if he does not become a really good football player in this league, it won't be because of the physical traits.
I love the way Austin Jackson, after a couple practices off, and I know you hear all the topics and stuff, but boy, the way he's practiced the last 2 days, his effort over there after sitting out of practice, I don't know, did you see him run from one side of the field and take off and...
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was like he was sending a message that, but it was good to see for everybody going, oh, boy, that I want to be the right tackle all year, and how different we look when he's at that right tackle position.
Yeah, Austin's a good football player. It goes without saying we need him. We need him out there. Our offense is not the same when he's not in the lineup. But Austin's hungry. I think he's eager to prove to this team and to this league that he's one of the upper echelon tackles in the league. And I'm thrilled that he decided to come back to us, and he's out there with us, and I expect good things from him.
John Eric Sullivan, general manager of the Miami Dolphins, joins us. All right, I've also noticed where you stand during practice in the end zone. What are you watching, if you don't mind? Different things, different days, or what's the game plan when you come out and watch a practice?
Yeah, multiple things. You know, a lot of times I always think it's interesting when you look at the game through the quarterback's eyes, and when you stand back there and you see coverage and you see how things open up, and then you can see the reaction quickness of the quarterback, how fast he's getting it out based on what's opening up, where the passing lanes are. And then a lot of times I'm also watching the interior battles. You and I were talking before we got on the segment, and as you well know, you actually brought it up. You know, when you're trying to watch all 22 on the field, you're not seeing anything. So a lot of times I'll pick out an interior battle, whether it's Jordan Phillips on Caden Proctor, and just watch that battle and how that goes. And so there's a multitude of things that I'm watching, but to your point earlier, I'm watching one thing. I'm not watching 22 players at one time because you can't do that.
All right. So sometimes Baptist Health is one of my big sponsors and, of course, a big part of what we do here. And sometimes some of us in the media play doctor. I'm guilty sometimes. I try not to because I know my education stopped way before that. But watching Chris Bell, either get me out of here before I watch him run or because I watched him run the other day again out here. I know you're not a doctor either. What a tease.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think how to say this to you. So I wasn't sure. How do I say? What do you say to everybody? We saw him. UM fans got to see him.
Sure.
Against Louisville and how good he was in that game. Running NFL routes. Big, strong dude. He looks better.
Yeah, Chris is, I will say, he's ahead of schedule. I'm not here to put a timetable on it because I don't think it's fair to the kid.
Yeah.
He's working extremely hard. I can't say enough good things about Kyle Johnson and his staff and what they've done to get him to where he is today. We're excited about him. I think that goes without saying. He's got the good Lord made him differently than he made most. And that has helped him along in his rehab, too. He's just a little bit of a freak that way. But he's working really hard, and he's, you know, we're expecting really good things from him. I don't want to put a timetable on it because I don't want to put pressure on the kid. He, you know, when I think about Chris Bell, obviously we want him out there as soon as possible. But this is long-term, big-picture thinking in terms of getting him back out there, because we expect him to be a really good player for this offense for years to come. So I'd rather be a week too late than a week too early.
Yeah, gotcha. I thought one of the things you did when you first got here, you said it, and then to go out and do it, I thought was really important, get those three contracts done for Achan, Brooks, and Brewer. All we watch them, and you watch, I'm sure you talked to a lot of people through the good and the bad. Those three never change. They play every game like it was championship week, and I thought it was an important message for everybody to see. You do it right. You do it the right way, and your leadership and all things you're about will take care of, and you got three contracts done.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, you know what? It was when you get paid around here, it's going to be based on performance, you know, and it goes without saying when you turn the tape on, Jordan Brooks, Aaron Brewer, and A-Chain, they're making a ton of plays. And then when I got here and I watched Brew and Jordan, how they worked and how guys followed them and just how they practiced day in and day out, it quite frankly was an easy decision. And then to your point, you know, Devon was working through an injury in the spring, as we well know. But when I watched him, and I said this last week, you know, when I turned the tape on, he's arguably the best player on the field every week. And so, you know, those were the things that made it, quite frankly, an easy decision for me. And those guys will be the pillars that we build around moving forward.
We've also seen quietly, you make a lot of changes at the end of the roster right now, looking to upgrade it, anything you see. Can you tell us how that whole process works real quickly? You have, because there are going to be a bunch of cuts coming at the same time at the end of preseason. I'm guessing you guys can be pretty active in making sure, and you got a pretty good idea who's loaded and who's not and who can't keep, who's going to have to throw some guys on the practice squad. You got a pretty good feel for that around the league.
I do, yeah, and it's, you know, in terms of where we are today, a lot of it is just it's balancing the, you know, your health and your roster and your ability to go out and practice. It's my job, our job as a personnel staff, to always try to bring in, when you have an injury, try to bring in somebody that is the most competitive person at that position based on what's out there at the time. As we go forward and we get into the season, we will continue to churn the back end of this roster. Nobody will sit around comfortably. It's my job to go find players, whether it's practice squad poaches or waiver wire claims or whatever. We will continue to churn and make sure that everybody understands you better show up every day or somebody's going to come take your job.
Yeah. I want to ask you, this one pops up all the time. I see people use my friggin' name in the thing, but I wish they wouldn't, but about the South Beach flu. I think that stuff's highly overrated about that there's this devil out there called South Beach, and the players are going to find it, and they may find it sometimes, but not in an abusive way, that it's going to affect their football. What are your thoughts? And listen, I've heard coaches say things when they've left and said it's hard when you got guys that are out all night and that stuff. It's not Green Bay, as you know.
Right.
It's different deal in Fort Lauderdale and South Beach and Miami. What do you say to that when you hear that and it's been an issue and those type of things?
Well, you can speak to that much better. You played here. You've lived here. I'm just coming through the door. I think there are a lot of distractions in this city? Sure.
Okay.
You know, having said that, that would be the case for most NFL cities. You know, they're most of them are in big money, L.A., Chicago, San Francisco. I think you're going down. But again, we organizationally have to be very cognizant about the individual that we're bringing through the door, what their passion is, where their priorities lie,
right,
what this behind me means to them. And if we're doing our job, then it should become lesser of an issue as we go down the road. And I don't think it's a big issue today. I think we have a lot of the right people on this football team now, guys that we've brought through the door, guys that I inherited. You know, it's early, but so far I feel really good about those things. I think we have the right kind of guys that have the right kind of wiring and makeup, and you know, football's a priority in their life.
Goals for this team, as you put it together, you know, we talk about the draft classes and the guys coming back, a little bit in the makeup, and what this thing might finally look like, but your goals for this group, especially the guys that you have brought in?
Just to get better every day. And I know that's a little cliche. None of us have a crystal ball. None of us know what this is going to look like 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks from now. If we continue to gel and come together and overcome adversity and grow as a unit, then I think there's good things to come. What that timetable looks like, I can't tell you. And I think it would be unfair to the team to try to put a timeline on that. But if we continue to stay together and grow and overcome hurdles and adversity, I have no doubt where this is going and what this will be in time.
You know what? Just getting to know you a little bit and following all the things you're doing, I've never heard you make one excuse or use the dead money once. I use it all the time for you, but you don't. It's reality.
Sure.
But we talked earlier. You knew when you guys got this job. It wasn't some surprise when you walked in and went, "Holy crap! Hey, what the hell? What do you mean? I got 10 cents right on the dollar."
Yeah. I knew what I was signing up for. I knew what there were some challenges, but everybody knew that. It was a big part of my interview process with those that were involved. Right. Obviously, Steven and Danny being the most important.
Yeah.
But I, you know, as you would expect in an interview process, I kind of laid out my plan, how we will build this team, what that looks like. And it's not a quick fix. I never thought you could live in the middle. We had to be disciplined in how we move forward to get back to a healthy spot within the salary cap. And they understood that. And they are very supportive of it. I think all of us expect to be as competitive as we can be every time we step out on the field. None of us are looking to make excuses. We expect to win. Are there some unique challenges in 2026? Absolutely. Anybody with two eyes and a brain that understands football knows that.
Yeah.
But we're not going to use it as an excuse. And I do have a plan, and we have a plan, and we will execute that plan. And how fast, you know, we get to a point where we're competing for championships, we'll see, but we will get there.
Last question. I'll leave you alone here. I appreciate you doing this. I really do, especially on your birthday with practice coming up here. Importance of this practice compared to the preseason game? Any more importance than the actual practice you're going to have against the Commanders versus Friday night's game?
Absolutely. I think anytime you go and compete against another team, you have to go into it with your eyes open. I mean, you played this game for a long time. You know when the lights come on, there are people that elevate and there are people that disappear. And I think it's the first opportunity to see who rises to the occasion in a competitive atmosphere against another team. So, yeah, it'll be a great evaluation tool for us.
Happy birthday, and John Eric Sullivan, thank you. I'm having trouble calling you Sully. I just
you know,
I'm
trying. My kids don't like it either.
Damn, I'm trying. I know everybody's calling you Sully. I got people in the street calling you Sully. I go, do you know I'm going to call him friggin' Sully? Okay. Anyway, thank you so much.
Hey,
really
appreciate it. Thanks,
great,
Joe.
Great having you. General manager of the Miami Dolphins, talking a little bit about the team. Hey, Summer is... All right, Woody, thank you. And Omar Kelly from the Miami Herald. Is it true or false? Because Woody hit me with it first thing this morning that you were Tommy Tourist all over D.C. yesterday. Is that true? Did you take the day and spend it in D.C.?
I worked till noon and, yeah, spent the day in D.C. doing touristy stuff. A lot of museums here, Joe. A lot of museums.
Yeah. See, you're pretty well balanced. People don't realize that about you, Omar. They don't realize it. You're a well-balanced guy as far as all that stuff. Not me. I barely left that friggin' hotel yesterday.
Yeah. I can understand. I can understand. But, I was walking around D.C., had a meal at some place, Chicago place, pizza place that apparently is here. You know Joe Stonecrab is here?
I did not know that. I did not know there was a second Joe Stonecrab. I wonder if it's the same family or if – I don't know.
Yeah. All right. It'll be interesting.
Hey, we got a lot to get to. So I want to ask you, it's been a couple weeks and now that, and working this last practice a couple of days ago into the question I'm about ready to ask you, what areas of the team, and considering the 9 or 10 guys that are injured, what part of the team are you most concerned with now as you look at different areas?
It's pretty safer to say what area of the team am I not concerned with. I'm not concerned with Malik Willis. I like what I've seen from him.
You really turned around on him. Yeah. I'm with you on that. I told him yesterday, I said, listen, man, I gotta be honest with you. I have never seen you in person until I started going to practice. I said, we just never connected at the same time. And so I don't remember you playing except the highlights I've seen. And I said, man, you know, just talking about the throws and stuff that he makes, but he's a really confident guy. Anyway, what other areas?
Devon Achane, I'm encouraged by. I like the defensive tackles. I really think that hopefully all of them have a better season than they had as a rookie season. I'm confident that they'll figure it out inside linebacker. I'm not sure that they have it all together there. But, you know, for me, the secondary, and it's not just cornerbacks, it's not just safeties, it's just everybody all together. The edges are a little bit troubling, and clearly wide receiver. It's just, you know, I'm not sure there are three guys I can count on that unit.
You know what? That's fair, because past Caleb Douglas, who has just jumped way out in front of everybody else, Malik's had his moments, but he's also had his moments where he's been covered too much. So
yep.
I'm with you. I started the show this morning. We got to see more out of Tutu and Tolbert. We've got to get something going there. And by the way, if not, watch out, because they're going to have another third round pick coming back here, maybe in the next month and a half.
Oh, when he comes, he's definitely leapfrogging those guys. I'm at the point where I'm not even sure Tutu Atwell makes this 53 man roster. I can't even tell you if he practiced during the scrimmage. Like, I can't. Like, I have no clue, because he's just not, you don't see him, you don't feel him, nothing. And that's a guy with a lot of ability. I'm hoping that he's just pacing himself, because goodness gracious, I expected a lot more.
You know who's been interesting? I think you're on this bandwagon too. Until this last practice, AJ Henning has really played well back home. The first 2 weeks were good for him. I don't know if he's got a chance to fit into the big picture, but boy, he's still a young guy and just seems like he gets separation and makes a lot of catches.
Absolutely. AJ Henning, I'm putting together my projection of the 53-man roster, and he's one of the toughest decisions. I definitely have him targeted on my practice squad. I'm not sure if I put him on the 53 over Tutu Atwell. I would think it comes down to the exhibition season. But I do really like what I've seen from AJ Henning.
Let me ask you, I feel good about the inside linebacker position. I do. I mean, I think we're stacked pretty good. And not only that, but you know who's looked really, really good? Watching him cover, Kyle Lewis at linebacker, covering those backs out of the back, the one of the first drills they did. He's got great instincts. He's going to play a lot of football in passing situations. He's going to be in there a lot, I think.
Yeah, hopefully. I don't think they have a choice right now, especially they need a lot. They need nickel help.
Yes, they do.
Especially if Chris Johnson is sidelined by an injury. I don't even know if there's another player on the roster who could play nickel. It's really a problem. I think this organization definitely doesn't want Jason Marshall Jr. to play nickel, but I'm not sure you don't have a choice. You have a choice at this point.
On behalf of Jason Marshall and the family, we'd prefer to play outside. I saw his mom and dad yesterday. As the whole family's up here, and I said, on behalf of the whole family, welcome to the outside again. And they're all laughing, just trying to get everybody cracking up a little bit.
I think he's had a decent camp. He's had a solid camp. I don't have any complaints about where he is. Obviously, we know what Juju is and what the concerns are. It's injury. He's injured now. Like, how much games can you expect from Juju? I was really excited to see Chris Johnson practice against Stephon Diggs and that slot receiver. I forget what. I was licking my chops. I was the first rep of practice. I was out there in red zone one-on-ones just to see how Chris Johnson was going to do. And then saw him standing there with his helmet in his hand the whole practice. Yep. And I was just like, damn.
I was wondering when you saw that. I saw that off the side. I was like, shoot. Hopefully he's back soon.
I actually, you know, when he didn't go in the 101s, I was like, okay, maybe something, you know, maybe they just didn't want him doing 101s. Then he didn't do 707s. Then he didn't do 11-on-11s. I was like, oh, man. But I actually don't like him at corner, at nickel. I like him out on the outside, too. And I get it. Nickel is a very hard position to play. It's a very unique skill set. You're gonna take your licks. Because, you know, those receivers are running option routes and two-way goes. And so it's not like you could just press somebody and just keep them right there. But it's a very important position to play, and I understand why they're having him play and learn. Do I feel like he would immediately be a better boundary cornerback? Absolutely. No question about it. He's got a lot of talent. I would love to see that. I'd love to see them go get a veteran nickel.
I don't know how many veterans they'll bring in. That's going to be an interesting one, but I want to ask you, I'm not disagreeing. I am curious because I think there's going to be a lot of new faces and a lot of new places when we get to the end
problem. Here. Here's my problem with this. I don't know how many veterans they're going to bring in because they want to be young. No, do they want to be young or do they want to be bad? Or do they want to give themselves a chance? Because this is where I sit and I kind of have a problem with what I see going on. You're playing young players over veteran players, which I understand because you want to be a young team.
Well, you're the one who won open competition, Omar. To be fair to this, you're the one who's asking for exactly what's going on. You said it.
No. What's going on is they're not really letting the veterans compete. It's the young players are getting first opportunity, second opportunity. And if you don't do it, then okay, we'll go put a veteran in there. And I'm fine with that. But Malik has talent. I want him to be able to get a proper, real, legitimate assessment. I'm not sure he's got a tight end on this roster. And a young quarterback, Joe, you're a former tight end. What does a young quarterback need the most?
Well, he needs some tight ends and catch the ball. No, I'm not talking 40 yards down the field. I think that's what you're talking about. But we got to get Dulcich back to 100%. But I know what you're saying. We got to get some production out of tight end.
I just don't. And maybe people think I'm fixated on Jonnu. I just don't see how that doesn't help Malik.
Well, you do get a crush on certain guys. I mean, just between us.
You know I do. But
you're on the Jonnu thing like you were Jarvis Landry here not too long ago, who, by the way, was at camp the other day doing a podcast. So I was surprised you weren't doing it with him.
No, I love Jarvis doing this podcast. I don't do podcasts with receivers no more. Here's my thought process. At the end of the season, are we going to say Malik looked all right, but he didn't really have enough talent around him? Let's go get him some around him and make another for why we were mediocre. Is that what we're going to say?
Well, I don't think I've been warning everybody. I have been warning everybody that if we don't get those guys, got to get separation. Or you can't just blame because we got people that, well, it's just Malik. It's not just Malik. No. Malik, no quarterback. You got to have something. You got to get some guys to get some separation if you're going to have success, because people got this vision of him doing this and that. And I go, well, he's got to get more around him than what I saw at practice the other day, because I saw some guys that were covered up pretty good.
They were covered up pretty good. Malik Washington was getting jammed up, and you know, the only guy he could really rely on was Caleb Douglas. And I gotta say, Caleb Douglas has been the most impressive guy in training camp, which is surprising. If you take out Jordan Brooks probably like holding his hand up like, hey, what about me? What did I do?
Now, there have been some veterans without bringing those guys up. I leave those five guys out. Every time we talk about, people go, why don't you mention this? I go, we're not worried about him. He's good. His track record is a good one. He's not going to change. Yeah.
Yeah. But Caleb Douglas, I mean, he looks like that dude. And I'm very encouraged by what I've seen. I'm curious to see how much they're going to show what he is and what he does in the preseason game. Clearly he's going to need the work because, you know, teams are going to do things against him. At this point, I don't see why you don't roll your coverage his direction, because there's nothing else for you to throw to.
Yeah, but that's because we're in preseason. Nobody's going to show anything. They're not putting game plan in for him. They want to see guys, and in a basic defense and maybe a blitz or two. Hey, real quickly, I want to ask you about Chop Robinson. Mm-hmm. I see an improved Chop. Not everybody does, but I see a guy playing with more confidence. And, boy, just watching him up close was really fun the other day. What do you think?
You know what? I didn't get to watch him because, you know, that situation was a split field and you had to make your choices. And I chose to watch the offense. I heard he was wrecking practice, but keep in mind, he wasn't playing against Laramie Tunsil over there.
He's gone. So, I mean, I can't help that. I mean, there you go.
You got to be who you play against.
The guy that's going to start is playing there right now. The guy that you're right. A backup who's starting, trying to get the starting job at guard, now moves to tackle. And he was a starting tackle before Laramie Tunsil got here. I know he's not Laramie Tunsil, but that's the guy they have.
All right. Here's the thing. Chop has been drastically improved. Chop has been better. Do I have the answer to whether Chop can set the edge right now? I do not. And neither do you.
No, I don't know. I got guys in my life that still don't believe it. You're not alone. That was just my take.
Yeah. No, Chop has definitely been one of the top performers at camp. No doubt he shows up every single day. But that's as a pass rusher. Have we set the edge? Have we gotten that? Have we mastered that? Or is this just a fluke situation? Yeah. We can, I don't know that answer. I don't think we're going to get that answer in the preseason. We're going to get it in the regular season, but you know, it's not just him. That's going to have a question marker in terms of setting the edge, that whole defensive line, the interior guys, the edge guys, you know, the linebackers, the safety, the front fits. So it's, you know, I'm not just going to put it all on Chop's shoulders.
Stop the run if you're going to have some fun, if you want to get that second part. Hey, Omar, thank you, man. I appreciate you coming on this morning. Thank you.
All right, Joe. Talk to you later.
All right. I'll see you tonight. Omar Kelly from the Miami Herald, columnist for the Miami Dolphins. Mark Ross on deck at 8:40, going to join us. ESPN NFL Network now. I'm just doing the combination package now that they merged together. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday morning, I might add. Hope you had a great weekend as we're just around the corner, man, from this football stuff. We got preseason this weekend. I'm guessing, I didn't even check, Thursday night. Woody must be the start. We got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, for preseason as all these networks are going to want to start getting games out and national games out and you get a chance to see, especially early on, the back end of everybody's roster and getting it set, man. First of three, and it'll fly through. The good news for the Dolphins, although they just have a few practices left after outside of today because they leave tomorrow. So it's open today to the public if you want to come out. Always free. I'll take three. Bring whoever. We in school, Woody? Are we officially back to school?
Broward Public Schools begin today. That one I know for sure.
Wow.
We'll have to have our Texas help us out with the others. But that one I know is
Day County is usually a little bit behind Broward, maybe? I should have read that.
Thursday is when Miami-Dade goes back to school. Thursday.
Thank you, All Day Dan Day.
Dan's ready.
There's All Day Dan Day. Yep. And he doesn't even have a 12-year-old running around right now. Going,
Whoa, yeah, not that I know of.
No. Don't start that. Don't go there with me, man. Well, that's good, man. So kids will be back in school, and hopefully we'll keep it clean today. Keep it clean for mom and dad.
That's true, yeah, around the 7 o'clock hour, you got to
be behaved. And John Eric Sullivan will join us at 8 o'clock this morning and talk to him. Yeah, a little special day for him. We'll get into that a little bit as well. But, man, we've got a lot of news out here. Hey, man, it is good. Woody, you slowed me down a little bit, and I appreciate it because I was talking about a combination of being out here Friday and then going to the stadium on Sunday to watch the Dolphins before, really, and they got practice today and tomorrow here, and then they take off tomorrow afternoon. We take off for Washington, but you're right. Listen, this is 9 practices, basically 2 weeks. We've been, I guess the rookie's been here 2 weeks, and it's about now. Now it goes to a different. It's like, okay, so far so good against the same guys you play against every day, and all the 11-on-11s and more one-on-ones here recently, and all the drills. Now you're going to do it against somebody that's got a different uniform mm-hmm. that is as hungry as you are to make a football team.
Yeah, it's just funny. Like this season, I can't remember in recent memory a season where there's been more unknowns coming into a year, right? We got people picking this team.
That is true.
A lot of people are picking them to, you know, one win, two wins. You got people that are picking them. I'm not going to throw Omar into this thing, but you got people in the 6 or 7 win camp.
You didn't throw Omar's 10 in there.
Nope, I'm not going to 10. I haven't heard a lot of people say 10. No. But, like, right, there's kind of a big spread as far as where people think this team is and, you know, what it's actually going to, you know, who knows what it's actually going
to
look like.
Before you get to your wins, that's why your original point of now we're going to see what it looks like the next 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to find out. I don't know how much certain guys, he was asked this before about preseason, and think guys are going to find out that maybe not playing as much, because even though they may not be completely proven for this team, they may say, I've seen enough. I know where you fit in. We're going to pull back on you for preseason. And then you got other guys that just need to get playing time, man. They need to get some playing time and see. But we got a lot of catching up to do to catch up to. We need some guys to look like front run. We need to be talking about our rookie class and second year class as much improved. And, hey, this rookie or the Dolphins have 2 or 3 of the best rookies in the NFL. We need to be having that discussion here in September and October.
That would be a very nice discussion.
Yeah, that's where you are with everything. So I think it's kind of important, and I'll tell you one thing. I've never seen a camp like this. I'll stick with this one and not change my mind, where there's been a lot of roster positions open. And I don't mean just starters. I mean getting playing time to – there's a good chance if you're on the 53, there's a good chance 40-something are going to play on offense and defense. I don't know if I've ever said that. I'm watching. He's got different packages. Some of them have a lot of the rookies on some of these packages that they put together. And those guys out there, man, they look pretty confident, man. They look like they know what's going on. And especially now with 9 or 10 guys banged up, I don't know how many of those guys will be back today or tomorrow or be able to work when we get up there on Wednesday. But hell, they had, I don't know, what, 2, 4, 6, 8, almost 10 guys that missed practice the other day for the stadium workout. And by the way, a couple of guys got tackled out there. They did do a little tackling, but they definitely want this thing to look physical, because they were getting after it pretty good. They were getting after it.
They ended practice on Friday with that big hit.
Yeah.
Rodriguez.
Yes. Hey, listen, man, Jacob Rodriguez.
Blew someone up.
I got to tell you something. So Jacob Rodriguez.
He's got a motor, huh?
And Tyrell Dotson. It's really interesting. It's really interesting to see what's going to happen. Dotson coming off a really good year. A lot of tackles. Lot. Hey, you start talking about a guy over 120 tackles in a season, and you start talking, I think he had 3.5 sacks. I think I saw my last thing, it was 3.5 sacks last year. Really productive guy. I think the year before he had 3 or 4 sacks, interceptions. So he's been really good. I mean, he's a great get. And now they go out and they believe they had the best inside linebacker was still there, and they grabbed him. And, man, he just gets better and better and better. And he is quick. And he does make a lot of plays. And as soon as you change the rules and tell him, hey, we can hit a little bit more, we got pads on, he's thumping.
Mm-hmm.
He's thumping out there. So that will be an interesting one to see. And then Jordan Phillips, Kenneth Grant, and Zeke Biggers. I think they all play a lot of football. Just – looking at how they're all being used, I think, especially early on in the season, and this is what I was talking about. I think the rotations, going to be a lot of different guys playing. One guy I want to talk about is a receiver. It's not Caleb Douglas. I talked about him and how good he looks like he's going to be. And again, it's just 2 weeks in and 9 practices. I want to see him do it, see him make some catches and some of the things he's been doing here. I want to see him do it up there in Washington. But there's another guy that's really interesting. And again, I don't know what's going to happen with him. I don't know if they have a spot for him. But I got to tell you, he makes plays every day. He wears number 88. His name is A.J. Henning. And he shines at every practice. Every practice. Doesn't matter who's throwing him the football. Doesn't matter. He's catching takeoffs. I'll bet you he's caught more takeoffs than anybody in camp. All right. You got to have big plays. And again, he seems to get separation, runs great routes. By the way, the route running's been really good by this group. But he just makes a lot of plays. I don't know. I don't know if there's room with him. I have kind of looked at the roster, and do you keep 5 wide receivers? Do you keep 6? Because some of the wide receivers will also be your return guys. We know how good Malik Washington is. And hey, there's a good chance Malik Washington is your starting receiver, and Malik's also going to be your number one punt return guy. Hell, I wouldn't take him off. He's really good at it last year. I thought he's one of the best we saw all year. His punt returns were fantastic. He makes a lot of guys miss. He gets you an extra first down or two and puts you in really good field position to start drives on. So I like him a lot. But A.J. Henning, man, it's a weird one. A.J. Henning. 88. I go, oh, man, who made that? Oh, it's 88 again. 88 again. And so curious to see up there some of these guys. And, again, I'd much rather get off to a good start than be struggling and people going, hey, we never talk about this guy. And by the way, whether you're injured or just not playing well, nobody wants to get off that kind of start. It's one thing to miss OTAs or mini camp because you're a little banged up. It's a whole different level now because, man, we used to have 100 guys at camp, and you did not want to miss a practice and give somebody a chance to get in your spot and start looking real good, unless they made up their mind. Now, some of these guys that are banged up, I can look at them and I go, no, those guys going to be around. Juju Branson, Dante Trader, Jamari Sawyer, they're going to be a big part of this thing. There's no question about it. But there's some other guys that – may just go, I think I'm good enough to go ahead. I don't want to miss this first week against the Commanders up there because I realize how important this is.
Boy, I'm looking forward to that practice, though, man. I got to tell you. Remember how last year's joint practice kind of set the tone for the year?
Oh, God. It's a great call.
This is going to be a pretty important week coming up here for this
again,
team.
And I'm not doing, we all do this. And
no, you don't have to look back. No, know the importance of it. And it kind of,
you're right.
Gave you an idea of where we stood at the time.
Woody, you are exactly right.
You'll have a pretty good idea, I think, between the practices and a preseason game. You'll have a much better feel for this team when we come back on Monday.
Yeah, you will. Yeah, some. There'll be guys still get better over the next couple weeks, but
yeah,
no.
You'll have a much better feel for where we're
so
at.
Everyone's
all over the map right now. Yeah.
Everybody does this, and I see all our Omar does it and everybody else, how long they've been covering the team, and like they're a 35-year veteran, and this a big – look at, man, that practice they had, and we've had some rough teams through the last 30 years. We've had a lot of rough teams compared to good teams. Rough is in bad. And that practice they had up in Detroit, some of the coaches are still on the staff. That thing in Detroit, it made national news. And trust me, practices against other teams don't make national news unless it's an all-out brawl or you get your ass kicked. We got our ass kicked. That was a bad one. And it was everywhere. Remember, they were showing all the routes they were running against our defense. Oh, good God. I mean, it was bad everywhere. And Detroit got after us.
Well, the team was bad just about everywhere. So,
and then we started
the
year.
We
set the tone and went to play the Colts, and we looked the same way.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, so anyway, you're right.
Very intrigued to see what happens this week.
Hey, listen, man, everybody knows the situation, and it's just how quickly the 21 guys develop for me. How quickly can they develop? And by the end of the year, if a lot of those 21 are playing at a high level, there's a good chance, like Brian Flores' team, went 5-4 the last nine games. Remember when we were supposed to be really bad? Brian Flores decides to go, 4-3 or 5-4 in the last nine, including beating Brady. And the Patriots are playing for home field advantage in the last game up there. One of the biggest wins we've ever had, and we didn't want it. Yeah. we didn't want it. Somebody forgot to tell that team that as they throw in a touchdown at the end of the game to beat the Patriots, man. Well, we're past that. We'll take all the wins we can get, man. I'm not sitting here today hoping to get a high draft pick. We'll be fine. I trust John Eric Sullivan and Half and these guys to get it done. Speaking of that, John Eric Sullivan's going to join us at 8 o'clock coming up here. We'll be able to talk more. Got a lot of stuff to talk about this morning with the team and talk about everything around this job as well with a lot of news and the South Beach flu. What do you think of the South Beach flu? You think that exists?
No, I don't.
I don't either. I think it's very overrated. I think if you have a bad team, I could see it, yeah. If you got a bad team, I can see guys checking out and staying in clubs all night and coming in with liquor on their breath and wives calling, my husband never came home last night, that kind of stuff. But I don't see that on this team. I don't see it, man.
We're a little far from the action over here, man.
Yeah, but I just,
we're all right over
I
here.
I don't see it. We're good. We're good. We're good. Of course, I'm living in Davie out west.
Yeah, no, most of the players live out
Can't
there.
Can't get in trouble out there. There are some guys who live out there. We got guys everywhere, man. Like when I played, we had A.J. Dewey lived in Miami Shores, one of those beautiful Spanish-style homes. Hell, I was living in Harbor Beach over on 17th Street. Bo was living in Las Olas. And
nobody lived out west, though, then, right?
We had guys living in Miami Lakes. I'm telling you.
Not like Broward West, not like Davie.
What?
When you were playing?
Yeah.
Did they?
David Woodley.
Huh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we had guys. It
Must
was amazing.
A lot of space out there.
Well, we haven't made people a little easier to get around in the 80s than now. Want to be a little closer to get caught in any of this nasty-ass traffic we have. Hey, we got to go to break here. We are live at Baptist Health Training Complex. Just getting started this morning. And we may have to get jacked up on a little more coffee out here. But we do have a lot. Free practice today if you want to come out. Only got a couple left. So if you want to catch this one, because they're going to be gone, I believe they have one probably next week sometime. I'll give you some dates coming up here. I was given some dates, and I'll have them for you. So I'm not guessing. When Joe Rose tries to guess, it's trouble, right? It's not a good thing. Tell you what, hurricane season is here. Doesn't feel like it, even though it's been raining like crazy, and it snapped a lot. But that's not hurricane season. What a crazy offseason. Everything that's happened, basically just cleaned everything off the table. You ever do that, man? You just take everything and you go, do I want that? No, just clean it all off. We did. And on this rebuild, here we go. 21 draft picks is the core of what we're talking about. Not even up for debate, really. I mean, we got five or six really good players and you know who they are off of last year and veteran guys that played a little bit, kind of sprinkled around this team. But it's really built for the future. And the future right now is these 21 guys. And how many guys are going to be good enough to go out there and play? And it starts tonight, man. So if you get a chance, keep an eye on the 13 guys that they drafted, John Eric Sullivan drafted here in April. And then from there, look at the eight guys they drafted the year before, Chris Greer. And let's see, because we need those are all young guys on the youngest roster right now in the NFL. So, and then, of course, you've got some really, really good stories here early on. But the one that everybody's talking about nationally, they're starting to talk about. I'm seeing articles now where everybody's picking up on just how good Caleb Douglas has been. And it's so funny because the first couple of days, and man, it's one of the great things of football. He basically missed all the OTs and minicamps. So we didn't get to see him. We're like, dude, you're the first third pick of the three. And this team's kind of said those third round picks are really important. Like they kind of cut it off at the first two first round, one second round, and three third round picks, like, yeah, we think our top six picks are very important to our future. So they put a little pressure and priority on that. So this guy, and then the first couple of days, not much there. Then he has one practice that had a couple of touchdowns, and everybody's going, hey, all right, well, you know. And one of our writers said, well, one foot was in. I don't know if it's in or not. It was a great catch, but I don't know if he's in. And they did writer stuff. And so, all right, whatever. We don't care about that. We want to know he jumped up and made the friggin' play. I'm not worried about whether it's an official out for practice three to say he got both feet down. Then he just got better and better. Then he had a day where he disappeared again, didn't do much. And then it started. Then Malik started throwing to him more and more, and he started making more plays. Then a couple of the big practices open to the fans, he made more plays. Then at the stadium, he makes a couple of catches. And then on a day where an offense didn't get much going, Caleb Douglas still had a nice day. Now, it wasn't perfect. Still got to learn to run certain routes, and you can't. He's going to find out that everybody in the league runs a 4.3 something 40. But his routes are getting better. I'm watching this 6'4 guy. He's catching the ball in traffic, which has been an Omar knock on him. Which, again, that's an Omar thing. But the guy's just getting better and better to the point the head coach comes out and says he's one of the most consistent guys, if not the most consistent player we've had in camp. How's that for a third-round pick that's been here 2 weeks, like a lot of guys? But he is he's having a nice camp. He's not the only one now. I think Chop's off to a really nice start. Man, boy, if he can keep this going, and by the way, I don't need pressures. I need to close. I know he's been in the first couple of weeks, he's had his hand because you can't tackle quarterbacks and he's kind of grabbed them, but that's been a knock on him that he gets there, but he doesn't close it. He doesn't get the guy to the ground. He doesn't make the play. So this is a big one for Chop, but he has looked a lot different, man. He has looked, I think they've kind of zoned into what he can and can't do. He came back. You can tell he's a little bigger. You can tell. But he's got a lot of confidence. He's got a lot of confidence right now. He has been going at it with Patrick Paul. Sometimes it gets a little ugly when you're out there and one guy's making the other guy look bad. They both tried to knock each other to the ground. I love it. I think it's great. You get those two guys going, which, oh, by the way, were the first and second round picks of that draft 3 years ago. Kind of important deal. So tonight, if you're looking, it is a big test. It's the biggest because they're going to tackle. There's not going to be – I wonder if the defensive tackle or the defensive end would have tackled the quarterback. Tonight, you take them down. There's no two-hand touch tonight or grab them and they blow the whistle. That's enough. We don't want to start a fight out here. Tonight, you take them down. And, yeah, they're looking for guys who can tackle. They're not going to show any coverages. It's just a – but they're going to put guys in different positions. I thought the cornerbacks and wide receivers had a rough one the other day, had a rough one a couple days ago here. So overall, we got to find more wide receivers. And I got to tell you, the group that really needs to step it up are the veteran guys. Tutu's got to get going. I know Tutu Atwell's been a good player, former quarterback out of Northwestern High School. We got to get him going. Now he's flashed a couple of times. But they need to see it every day. They need it. And Tolbert is a guy they're really counting on. Is when this thing all started, he's still starting. But we just too many days where somebody will say, did you see Tolbert today? I don't want to see days where I go, hey, I didn't see much of Tolbert today. So that's an important one to get going. Because if not, I think coming in the near future, I said it yesterday, I've been saying it a lot. Our starting tight end and our starting wide receiver is going to be the third round class. Is kind of the theme of craziness of everything that's going on right now. Because I think he's closer to coming back than I originally thought. Again, got to be careful with that because I'm obviously not making the decision on it. But Woody, you saw him out there. It's a tease. And listen, they're definitely going to give him at least another month. There's no question in my mind. And you know what? Another month takes you right to the start of the season. Maybe they give him another 6-7 weeks. That's okay. Hey, honestly, if they said two months and this thing went into middle of October, I'd have no problem with it. You're still getting a lot of football. You're getting a lot of football out of a guy that is going to be really, really important going forward. No question. So it's going to be a young, the veterans early on. We need to get some of those wide receivers. I'd love to see a couple of those guys make some plays tonight. But at some point, Chris Bell is going to be playing. And trust me, he will be playing. There might be a little rust to knock off because he hasn't played in 8 or 9 months. Hadn't played since, I don't know, in November maybe. Woody, does that sound right? The last time when he got injured his ACL. But we're sneaking up on 9-10 months. And we'll see. We'll see how that goes. It's going to be interesting to one to watch. And then,
well, what's the reaction like tonight, Joe? Like, I don't, you don't want to overreact to this game here, but
no, it's just, but
it's just funny because we're watching all the stuff this morning and they're breaking down every single quarterback and every single throw that they've made. And, you know,
I don't think so, Woody. I disagree. It's been fundamental offense and defense. I don't think people are throwing a lot at them. We should have some success tonight, but again, I don't just see you're going to be playing against a lot of guys like your situation. A lot of draft picks going to be playing a lot against a lot of draft picks. A lot of second year players will be playing against a lot of second year players. The bottom half of 53 man rosters will be playing tonight. And maybe, I mean, if it's like you go around the league, starters are playing what, one series or two series. And everybody should look good. Like Mendoza went 10 for 16 and I saw a lot of short passes. That's what should happen. Get your feet wet, get some first downs, get a little confidence. You couldn't get confidence off that practice the other day. That was a learning experience. Tonight, though, again, we go from quiz to test. So, I don't know how guys are going to do. Listen, some guys are going to play against guys that are as good or better, and some won't. You know, some of this is going to be matchups and the play called for you. But, man, fair or not, whatever's going to happen this year is going to be that core 21 guys. And I know Achan's not part of the 21, and I know a lot of the 7 or 8 guys on this team, they're good players that could play on anybody's team. We have those guys. We have a lot of them right now. We need more for the future. But we got to get some of these younger guys to look like Brewer and Achan, right? Brooks. Sealer, those other defensive tackles have to play like Zach Sealer, who, by the way, he just told him, hey, man, I'm probably going to be out a couple weeks. You guys need to – I'll be here to talk to you, but I won't be here to cover you up. Like, you guys are going to have to play. So, I'm guessing tonight, a lot of Phillips, a lot of – right? A lot. See how he does. Biggers will play a lot. Kenneth Grant will play, obviously, a lot. We got to get him going. He's been a little quiet, to be honest. Kenneth Grant, you know, we're not looking for you to just be a run stopper for 15 or 18 plays a game. We took you in the first round out of Michigan for everything. They said potential as a pass rusher, potential tackles for loss guy, big, strong guy, which he is. He didn't lose all that. He's just got to make more plays. Got to make more plays. And listen, unfortunately, we've had some guys around here in recent years with Sealer, Wilkerson. We've had some damn good players around here. Who's the old guy we had from University of Miami? I totally forgot his name. He's like 40 years old. He still makes like 70 tackles a year.
Calais Campbell.
Thank you. We need that. We need that. That, by the way, how good is that story? That guy friggin' still making $5 or $6 million. Teams still want him in every offseason. No matter where he goes, he has not 401k'd a team yet. He's not thrown the 401k card out there yet. You know what that is. That's your last year where you just kind of throw it in and end up not playing. Sometimes they release you and you just, you take that, oh, that last year, that, that money.
Down here
yeah, we do know. Show. We yeah. do know. It's a good point. We actually do know what that looks
we
like.
We have a receiver took one of those recently, a few years ago.
Yeah. Well, we've also had some guys do that and then go other places and start looking pretty good again. So we'll see. Hey, we got to go to break. We've got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning as we continue on with preseason football. Three more games tonight, six last night, and a whole bunch of games on Saturday as well to kick off week one. And the Marlins open up a six-game road trip tonight against Cincinnati. Three with the Reds and three with the Phillies, who just Phillies aren't exactly running away from this wild card, man. They are they've had some problems. And so the Marlins, even after losing 12 in a row, they lose 12 in a row, 11 in a row, whatever it was they lost. They're still there. Still got a shot, man, to get in that wild card position with Arizona and Philly not that far ahead of them.